Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
Amen. Do you believe that God is excellent? Do you believe that there is no failure in God? Oh, we found a point. There wasn't too much yes when I said there's no failure in God. So we believe that God is excellent, or maybe we just didn't want to answer the second question. So we'll try it again. And if you don't believe it, don't say anything. Do you believe that there is no failure in God? In other words, that God cannot fail. That's important. Because in order for us to trust God with all of our heart, we have to believe that he won't fail. And whatever it is that, whoever it is he's created us, we may fail. We may give up. So fail is kind of like, it's just not like I tripped up or something. I'm talking about God is able to sustain us. And that's very important. So when the scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? Lean not to your own understanding, all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. But trusting God with all of our heart is really believing that God won't fail me, that God will sustain me. So we can believe that he's excellent, but do we also believe that he won't fail me, that he's got me? Amen? But sometimes we have to build our faith in that area because maybe people have failed us and we're putting God in that same category. But God is not like people. And that's the reason why it says he is holy. So regardless of what people do, it does not stop God from being who he is. So people around us can not sustain whatever it is that maybe they promise, but God will not fail us. And I'm not going to say amen because I don't want you to say amen and if you don't believe it. But God will not fail us. We can trust him. You ever hear that phrase? And you can take that to the bank. I guess that means you can cash that check and it won't bounce on you or something. Yeah, you can take that to the bank. Hey, I forgot to ask if there's any first-time visitors. You're here at Purpose Church for the first time. Anybody? First time? Amen. We're all back, or you're nervous to raise your hand. Some faces I haven't seen in a while. Some is because I was away, and then some, like, we missed each other. So it is so good to see you guys here today. So I want to get into the Word of God. My prayer is that we'll be able to get through what it is that we need to get through. And as Victoria shared, we are now in this discipleship series now. And so last week we started Matthew 28, starting at verse 16. So we're going to continue through that. But there's two different areas that I believe the Lord is at least leading us as Purpose Church, and I may even say even the body of Christ as well. It is a coming back to be discipled by God, coming back to grow in our relationship with God. And you may be saying, well, Pastor Will, what do you mean coming back? Like, you act like we kind of drifted somewhere. I believe in life we all can drift from that intimate relationship with God. And every once in a while, we need to kind of check where we are. Have you ever been on the beach and you're standing on the shore in the water and you don't realize it, but that the currents are pulling you in a direction that you didn't realize it was? And the only way that you know that you're not where you used to be is when you look back and you're like, where's my towel? Or where's my people? And you're like, how did I get wherever I'm at? And you've got to retrace your steps to try to figure out where I was. And that happens in life. Just natural circumstances in life can cause us to drift from that place with God. Don't mean sometimes it's not like backsliding or anything. I started here, and the currents of life is pulling me somewhere else. And every once in a while, we need to look back and see if we're in the right spot. Are y'all with me? And that's where we are right now. I believe right now God is saying, I need for you to look and make sure that we're still good. Like, we're still good. I'm still in right standing with God. It's not like, you know, like I'm, but my closeness with God, are we still connected? Am I reading my Bible and we're still connecting? Or am I reading my Bible just because I'm reading it? Am I praying God and we're still connected, God? Or am I just praying? Am I going through the motions? Am I going to church and all of that? So that it, you can use this as a reset, but I'm asking, please take this serious. If you were here last week, we talked about a divine appointment. And I believe, so God does not operate in time. So we may say, well, God, I met you in church last week, so I checked that box. God says, I'm eternal, so I'm always trying to draw you to a divine appointment. It's not just because this date on a calendar. God is always looking for us to show up so that we can hang out and grow in our relationship with him. So every time I sense the Lord calling, that is a divine appointment. It's not just about the calendar date. So today is a divine appointment. Unless you're here today, but you're not here. You didn't respond to the call. You're here, but you're not. But I have a feeling that everyone that is in this room and everyone that's watching online, you're present. I just have that feeling that you're here and you're readily listening to what it is that God is sharing with you specifically. So be discipled. So we want to look at Jesus and how he was interacting with the disciples, because eventually he's going to say, go make disciples. But before we go make disciples, we need to be discipled. What does that mean? I need to have a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. How do I help someone else become a disciple of Jesus Christ if I'm not a disciple of Jesus Christ? How do I lead someone to a place of prayer if I'm not praying and reading the Bible and going to church? How do I do that if I'm not there? So a disciple is someone that follows someone else. But if I'm not doing it, I might be leading someone down the wrong path. But if I'm doing it, they can just look at my life and follow where I'm going. But sometimes we're like, I don't want you to follow me because I don't know where I'm going. And we're both going to be lost. If you don't know where you're going in God, then this is the reason why God is calling us back. We need to become aware of God's presence and aware of his Holy Spirit leading us to where he wants us to be. And y'all know this. Someone is following you. Because you are a believer in Jesus Christ, someone is closely following you. Here's the question. Where are you leading them? Are you leading them to God? Or are you leading them to yourself? Are you talking to them about your beliefs, your doctrines, or are you talking to them about the Word of God? Are you trying to get them to pray the way that you pray, or are you trying to lead them to the way that they should pray to their Heavenly Father? Are y'all following what I'm saying? Discipleship in the kingdom of God doesn't stop with us. It's follow me as we follow him. Jesus is the end goal. God is the end goal. Please, it doesn't stop with us. And if the Lord is saying this to you, that you need to get out of the way, then get out of the way. It's this. Let me show you the King. It doesn't stop with me. Amen? Amen. So last week we looked at this verse here. And this is where we're talking about divine appointment. And it says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated. So again, not going to spend a lot of time with that one there, but Jesus pretty much, so this is after he had risen from the dead, he says, hey, I'm going to meet you on the mountain. So the disciples had to say, okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to meet him on the mountain. And this is the beginning part of us being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Wherever he leads us or wherever he is appointing us to be so that we can meet with him, that's where we will go. Do we sense God leading us in or to things that will bring us to him? Sometimes we focus a lot, and I think I said this last week, we're looking to be led by God for something that we want to do, and that's all fine and dandy, but we need to primarily be led by him so that we meet him. So this is a beautiful thing. This illustration, if you guys can see this, of God the Father, sitting on the throne and the Holy Spirit ushering us to the Father. So the Holy Spirit, like an usher, like if we had ushers usher you to your seat, the Holy Spirit ushering us to God the Father, because God wants to spend time with you. So that means that I must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And this is so important. And I think this is an area that in the body of Christ, in churches, we don't talk about too much. And if you missed the series and talking about the Holy Spirit, go back. If we are believers of Jesus Christ, but we don't know what it's like to be led by the Spirit of the living God who dwells on the inside of us, we're leaving a lot of the relationship with God outside. Jesus spent time with the disciples. Then he says, hey, wait until the Holy Spirit, the promise, comes. And then he will lead and guide you into all of truth. He will be the counsel, the comfort, the standby, the advocate. So if we are not, you know, God, I pray that today that you will lead and guide me by your Spirit. If we're leaving this out and we're just trying to, if we're trying to do the Abraham thing, which means trying to arrive to a place that the Lord says that he will show us without the Holy Spirit, we're leaving it out. Why are we wandering around without depending upon the Holy Spirit? If you came from a tradition of the church where if the praise and worship got really good and then people started, like, you know, shouting, and you say, oh, they caught the Holy Spirit. That's not why the Holy Spirit is here. It's not for us to catch it and then we just start doing something. Or becoming real deep. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is telling me to tell you this. It's not just for that. The Holy Spirit is the comforter, the counselor, the advocate, the standby, the intercessor, the one that wants to lead and guide us into all truth. Not just to make me feel good. In fact, the Holy Spirit will make you not feel good. He will bring conviction that you'll be like, is that you, God? Ugh. I thought you was a loving father that just, you know, but without discipline, we won't grow. So this thought that there is this God that sits on the throne like Zeus and is directing and doing it, God will convict us by his Spirit. And that's the fruit of the Spirit, right? All of that's in there. But sometimes we talk about the gifts more than we talk about the fruit. And so if you're here and this whole idea of being, so we'll say, something's telling me, or within my conscience, I feel I shouldn't do that. Well, if you're in that place, something's telling me, and you're a believer of Jesus Christ, so that means the Holy Spirit dwells within you, why don't you ask God, is it you telling me? I feel in my conscience that there's something leading me. God, is that you? Is that you by your Spirit? So I can stop being so general with it and say, Lord, inquire of the Lord, is this you speaking to me by your Holy Spirit? So that I'll stop using language such as something's telling me. Yeah, don't dance around with something telling me too much. See, because then if I do something that's not right, I can say it was that something that told me to do it. And I'll blame it on a something. But I cannot blame God for me doing something wrong. The Lord told me to smack you. I can't do that. The Holy Spirit told me that you just needed to be hit. No, stop. Because we know that's not God. But if I say, well, something told me that you needed to snap out of it, so that's why I hit you. So stop leaning on the something and bring it on in. Are y'all with me? And so this may be an area of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus says, meet me, and the disciples met him where they needed to. Verse 17 says this, and when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted that it was really he. Woo, wow. Man, this is beautiful. So Jesus says, I want you to meet me in a particular place. And the disciples obey and they go there. And when they get there, he's there. And some of them worship him. Praise the Lord. But some, he said, meet me. And they obeyed. But when they got there, they saw him and they doubted that it was him. They both obeyed, but one worshiped and one doubted. I don't know if that's you. But both obeyed him. So that means that we can have people who obey God. Just giving an example. The Lord wanted you to come to church today. The Lord wanted you to watch the service today. We all responded. All of us responded. And now we see God or sense God. Some say, oh, God, thank you so much. Some say, I don't know if that's God or not. How about this one? We all obey God. The Lord says, I want you to do this. I've called you to do this. And we all respond and obey. And then we see God, and some say, oh, Lord, help me. And some say, I don't know if that's you. Where are you at today? Where has God led you in your life? And what is your posture? Is it one of, I may not understand it, but Lord, I worship you. I don't have all the answers, but God, I worship you. In this case here, I don't know why you allowed them to kill you and you for to be buried, but you know, I'm glad you was raised from the dead, but I don't know why you acting like you're about to leave us, but you know what? I worship you. But then there's some that get stuck, and why'd you let them kill you, Jesus? Why'd you let them bury you, Jesus? And I'm glad you was raised from the dead, and I'm happy to see you, but is that really you? Is this you, God? And have you ever asked that question? Sometimes we need to stop asking questions and just worship. Sometimes we're trying to make it too much sense up here. Well, I don't know. In my previous church, we didn't act like that. But the Lord led you here. Oh, my previous job, but the Lord led you here. In my previous, but the Lord led you to where you currently are right now. And he is saying, what is your posture? Will it be one of surrender as if you are coming before the king? Or will it be one of, I know you led me here. I got that check. And I'm here. But now that I'm here is not what I thought it was going to be. So therefore, I doubt. It's not adding up, God. And can anybody be honest in your life? Are you at a posture of worship where you just say, I don't get it, but I worship you? Or is it one of doubting? But here's the beauty. We all showed up. So if you're in a place of doubting, don't beat yourself up. At least you showed up. Now, here's the question. What do you do from here? If your doubt causes you to, I'm good, bring yourself back. It was God that led you to wherever you are in your life right now. It wasn't the disciples that said to you, show up. You responded to God. Amen? And so I want to look at this area of doubt and break it down a little bit. If I can get to this area of doubt. Maybe I don't have this area of doubt in here. But doubt, when you look at the word, it is not that completely I'm just disregarding. It means that I'm indecisive. It literally means almost double-minded. In a lot of places, it means that I cannot make up my mind. I want to worship. I want to do what it is that you're leading me to do. I want to do the right thing, God. I want to start whatever reading or praying or whatever it is more, but I'm not quite there yet. So it's not a terrible thing. It means that I'm still going two different ways. I'm shifting between different positions. I'm vacillating. I'm at an uncertain crossroad, refusing to choose one way or the other. You remember this? Jesus says, or God says this, I put before you life and death. And then he gives them a hint. Choose life. But he says, the choice is yours. But let me give you a hint. Choose life. But for some of us, we will be indecisive. Do I want to go all in with God? Or am I trying to hold some back in reserve? And that may be the area where God is speaking to some of us. Stop trying to hold back some in reserve. Just in case, God, this thing don't work out, I got something to fall back on. And God is saying, go all in your relationship with him. But that's a risk, God. I'm faithful. I've got you. And some of us will take more of a risk on our jobs than in our relationship with God. Well, if I got up at the time you're leading me to get up each day to pray, God, I'm going to be tired. And he's like, I know. But believe me, the growth that you will experience will be so much greater than your physical tiredness. Well, God, if I got real serious about reading the Bible or consistently going to whatever group, God, I don't know. Like, that's a vulnerable place. And God is saying, but the growth that you will experience. So God is saying, don't hold back anything in reserve. Why are you holding? Why do we do that? Why are you holding back from going all in? What is it that you're holding for a rainy day in regards to your relationship with God? Well, I don't want to lose how I was raised. I don't want to lose my tradition of the way that I was raised and the type of church that I was raised in. And we're literally saying religion over kingdom in that moment. I share with a lot of people that I was raised Catholic, and there's still a lot of the essence of things within me in regards to how I was raised as Catholic. But there comes a time when God says, you remember that? And I say, yeah, that was really good. He said, okay, it's time for you to let that go. You need to shift, because now it's about my kingdom and not religion. And some of us are saying, well, I was raised Methodist, I was raised Presbyterian, I was raised Lutheran, or whatever it is. And God is saying, don't you realize that those are man-made religions? And he's saying, I'm trying to get you to a place of relationship. They help you at that level, but there's a deeper walk. Don't let how you were raised in a church, synagogue, temple, whatever it is, keep you back from a deeper relationship with God. Well, they told me don't write in your Bible. You better write in your Bible. They said don't highlight. You better highlight. They said don't even fold the pages in your Bible. They said don't read nothing but King James Version. You better read what you can understand. And this is where God is trying to take us across different thresholds of a relationship. But sometimes what we knew keeps pulling us back. And there's this cry on the inside of us that's saying, but I feel like I need to be free. And we just keep getting pulled back. So for some, this is God's push to you. And you know that there's another level of a relationship with God. Don't allow how you were raised get in the way of a deeper relationship with your heavenly Father. Amen. And that's the reason why Jesus had such an issue with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, is because they were becoming a stumbling block to people having a deeper relationship with God. And if you have any of those things, it is time, if the King Jesus is standing in front of you saying, come, and they're stumbling blocks, you need to go on past it. and go where he is telling you to go. Be free in Jesus. Amen? Be free. So Jesus came up to some of them. Well, he came up to all of them. He said, all authority and power and all absolute power or rule in heaven and on earth, he says, has been given to him. The beauty is that two groups of people met Jesus, the group that worshiped and the group that doubted, but it did not stop him from speaking to them. So this is the reason why I'm saying, even if you're in a place right now where you're kind of like, I'm not quite sure, God, I'm not sure if I'm ready to go all in, the Lord will still speak to you. If you're at a place of worship, the Lord will still speak to you. So what is the purpose of our encounters with God? It's so that we can get closer to him, and then we can receive our assignment. He says, meet me and then go. It's not just a, oh man, you know, I just love this place with God. And the Lord is saying, I know you do, but come on, you and I, let's go. You say, well, Lord, I'm not ready. It's not about you being ready. It's about me sending you. Let's go. And it's, well, God, I just love this place. This is great. This is a wonderful place of worship. That space that I'm in, I'm finally reading my word. I'm finally praying. I'm finally being free. And the Lord is saying, that's great. Go. So don't get stuck. Don't create your own standard. And we do this. Well, at least I don't do what I used to do. And God is saying, I know, that's great, but I need for you to go. And sometimes we'll say, if I can just stop doing that one thing once a week, that's our standard. What is God's standard for your life? Well, I used to not read the Bible at all. At least I'm reading Daily Bread. At least I'm watching something on TV, or at least I'm reading. And God is saying, that's great, but there's more. So if you have a standard and it didn't come from God, get rid of it. Because you know we will keep the bar really low just in case we mess up. So what is the Lord speaking to us? And what is his standard? And where are we right now? And are you sensing God saying, go deeper? Pray more. Some may be sensing God saying, fast. Put down something to spend more time with me. But where is the Lord leading you right now? As we go to this place, let us not skip number one. The goal, the first part, is know God and then make him known. But sometimes we prematurely want to tell everyone about God, but we don't know him. And the moment that someone rejects our message, we walk away sad. Know God. Make him known. And if you're in here, you're a new believer, I remember how I was when I first gave my life to Christ. I want everybody to be saved. Everybody. Like you. Come on. Like, what you doing? You need to know Jesus. And it wasn't too much about the fear of them going to hell. It was, I found something so great, I wanted everybody to know. And that's wonderful. But many times, well, God would be pulling me back and saying, you need to spend some time with me. So that when you go make me known, you don't feel empty when they say, I ain't trying to hear that stuff. That's good for you, but not for me. And then all of a sudden, I'm ready to fight somebody. Oh, you don't want my Jesus? Oh, you think you're good enough to go to heaven? And now you just messed up the witness. But if I know him, if you reject the message that he sent me to speak, you're not rejecting me, you're rejecting the one that sent me. Now, that may feel some kind of way, but you're not rejecting me when I'm sharing the gospel. You're rejecting the one that sent me because I know him. And I know that's what his word says. So right now, if you're pumped up about wanting other people to know about God, yes, let's go. But don't skip you knowing him. Know him. Know him. Know him so that when you step into an environment, you sense his presence. Know his word enough that you can try to articulate it when the Holy Spirit is speaking through you. Know how to pray when the environment is really not a good place to be praying. But because you have a prayer life, you're going to pray anyway. And know his love, that when someone is unlovable and you are about to go through the entire work week ignoring them, that you sense the love of God that you know because you know him, challenging you to say hi to that person. See, this is a daily walk. I can't say that I know him and then I act like I don't know him when you don't treat me right. Amen? So that's going to get somebody this week. We can do what God is leading us to do because of who God is. Jesus says, all authority and power, he has it. And then he says, go. So I can do what it is that the Lord is leading me to do because of who God is, not because of who I am. So for the person that says, I'm not gifted enough, it's not about your gifts, it's about who he is. I'm not educated enough, it's not about that, it's who he is. And if he's leading you to do it, then you stand on who he is and you do it. Not based upon who we are. So Jesus continued this. He says, go therefore, and we're going to stop here, and make disciples of all nations. I love the part that's in the brackets. Help the people learn of me, believe in me, and obey my words. And then baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. And so as disciples of Jesus Christ, our responsibility is to know him. And then as he leads us to help other people learn of him, believe in him, and then obey his words. And that means I need to know his word to be able to do it. Again, it's not them obeying our words. It's not that. Our words do not have the substance that the word of God does. So I can say something to someone, but if it's not mixed with the word of God, it does not have enough substance to keep them. It can encourage them, but it does not have the substance or the power to keep them. People say, you know, words are power. The word of God is powerful. So you can speak the word to someone. You may say, I don't memorize the scriptures, but you know the word is coming out of you. That is powerful enough to keep someone compared to, you're going to be okay, my friend. Oh, that's good. Well, you're going to be okay, my friend. You know why? Because I believe, according to God's word, you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. So the strength that you have, my friend, is not coming from your own strength. It's coming through Christ. That's the word of God. But if we're just high-fiving people, you're going to be okay. It's going to be all right. You know, things always have a way of working out. Those are encouraging, but because it's not the word, it does not have substance. And we're not teaching them his word. So this is not just about, as God leads us just hanging out and high-fiving each other. If the Lord is leading you to disciple someone, there has to be some giving of the word of God. There has to be some learning of Jesus, believing hopefully of Jesus, teaching the word of God. We're not just hanging out. Because the goal is that they will begin to disciple people as well. And if I'm teaching them the wrong way to disciple, that's the reason why we have people just wandering around. Because we're not giving them the word of God. We're giving them the word of self. the flesh. Y'all with me? Help them to learn of Jesus. Prayerfully, they believe in Jesus. And prayerfully, they obey his word. Here's a challenge for us. This week, let's get into the word of God a little bit more than what we have been. That's a challenge for all of us. So wherever you are in reading the scriptures, just kick it up a little bit. I'm not saying read the whole Bible, right? Come back next week. Pastor, I've read the whole Bible in 24 hours. How much of the Bible do you know? So wherever you are, if you're currently in a devotion, increase it just a little bit. If you're not reading at all, you don't have a devotion, you can meditate upon the scripture that's either being taught during Bible study in your groups, your women's group, your men's group, or even that's being preached. Dive into the word this week. Are y'all up for that challenge? Man, that was motivating. I got one thumbs up back there. Wow. That was, oh, I got two. Can I get three? I feel like a Austin. It's like, you said, if I said amen earlier, that meant I'm in agreement with you. So I ain't saying nothing. I ain't in agreement with you. The Lord didn't tell me to increase and read my Bible more. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in his love, and live out his purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.